Let's go ahead and open our Bibles today to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 5 as our starting spot. Last time we were together, we watched as the United Kingdom of Israel split into two kingdoms. One we're going to start referring to as the Northern Kingdom of Israel, and the other will be the Southern Kingdom of Judah. The Southern Kingdom is the kingdom of David's dynasty. So David was followed by Solomon, and Solomon was followed by Rehoboam, who is the new king, and whose ego kind of led to the split. The Northern Kingdom is going to have several dynasties over its existence. The first one, though, is led by a man named Jeroboam, who was specifically picked by God through the prophet Ahijah out of the city of Shiloh. And God told Jeroboam at the time, if he will just do the right thing, if he will just serve God, keep the covenant, then his dynasty will be just as enduring as the dynasty of David. Now, spoiler alert, that's not going to happen. The Jeroboam dynasty is only going to last a few generations and then be done because of sin. But it is important to know that God sincerely offered to him the possibility of having a legitimate kingdom of Israel. Now, Rehoboam escapes from this great big rebellion that takes place at Shechem. He goes back to Jerusalem and he musters up an army because he wants to put this rebellion down. But God sends another prophet who basically communicates, no, God wants this split. God wants there to be two kingdoms of Israelis. Leave it alone. Stay home. So Rehoboam's attempt to keep his kingdom from splitting is instantly crushed by God's prophecy. So Rehoboam decides to reinforce his own security. And that's what is kind of described here in 2 Chronicles 11, starting at verse 5. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem. Now remember that Jerusalem is now probably slightly more than twice the size it was under David, because it's got the whole new northern section, the Temple Mount and the palace complex, as well as new walls around that section. And Solomon has been renovating all of old Jerusalem. And so Rehoboam has basically got a completely refurbished city of Jerusalem as his capital. But he says here that he also built cities for defense in Judah. So he begins thinking about the adversaries that came up because of his father's tyranny at the end of his life. And the ones that he has to worry about would be the whole northern Israel thing that just happened just north of Jerusalem. And then he's also got stuff happening down on the south east corner of his kingdom. So what does he do? Verse 6, he built Jerusalem. So he starts rebuilding the city of his ancestor David. Etam, Tekoa, Beth-Zur, Soko, Adullam, Gat, Meresha, Ziph, Adraim, Lachish, Azekah, Zora, Ahilan, and Hebron, fortified cities that are in Judah and in Benjamin. So these are all cities, most of them to the south, I think, some of them off to the west of Jerusalem, that are going to serve as barriers to any group that's coming toward Jerusalem from that direction. Places that will be able to fight to protect the capital city. Verse 11, he made the fortresses strong, put commanders in them and stores of food, oil, and wine, and he put shields and spears in all the cities and made them very strong. And so he held Judah and Benjamin. So he puts his kingdom in an immediate war preparation status and starts placing war supplies in all of these strongholds. And that's how he intends to keep his main city or main country of Judah intact. Simeon is also as a tribe group associated with Judah. And Benjamin, which is the border to the north between him and the northern 10 tribes that have now rebelled. So that's what he's doing during the early part of the split between the two kingdoms. In the north, this is what's happening, and for that we need to go over to 1 Kings chapter 12, starting at verse number 25. It says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. Now remember, Shechem is where the split actually happened. It was during the coronation ceremonies that Rehoboam answered so strongly and ends up with the people of the northern tribes just saying, we're done with you. We're going to make our own kingdom. And so they adopt as apparently their first capital, the city of Shechem, which has a very ancient history. It's the first place that the blessing and cursing ceremonies happened in the time of Joshua. It's where there was the shrine building of the covenant of God. Either the Ten Commandments were written on standing stones there, or maybe the Book of Deuteronomy, possibly even more of the sacred words of Moses, the first prophet of Israel. But it has been a special place for quite some time. So they make it kind of their first capital city. Now he went out from there and built Penuel. Now that's on the east side of the Jordan River. So if you go east from Shechem and go down into the Jordan Valley and go across the Jordan River, first you'll come to Mahanaim. And then if you follow that river system, that water drainage system further east, you're going to come to the city of Penuel, which is another place connected with Jacob. Jacob established all these places when he first arrived back in the land of promise. So he apparently makes that his east of Jordan capital city. So Shechem is west of the Jordan capital city, and then Penuel east of the Jordan capital city. Verse number 26. Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David if this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of he who is at Jerusalem. Then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So Jeroboam is a thinker, and he immediately starts thinking about this. The temple of he who is at Jerusalem. Jerusalem is inside of Judea, and Judea is the kingdom of Rehoboam. The Israelis, by the Mosaic law, all adult men of capable ability are supposed to go to the temple at Jerusalem three times a year. Passover at the beginning of the spring, Pentecost at the end of spring, and Feast of Tabernacles at the time where you're transitioning from summer into fall. And so he realizes, if I've got all my guys going back across that border to Jerusalem year after year, three times a year, they're going to be connected with Judah. They're going to be connected with Rehoboam. And eventually they're going to decide, why do we have this whole kingdom of Israel thing going on? Why do we have Jeroboam as our king? Let's just go back to being part of the Davidic kingdom, part of the Solomonic kingdom, part of the Rehoboam kingdom. And then they'll just kill me and I'll be done. So Jeroboam comes up with a plan, and it's not a good one. Verse 28, so the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, you've gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold, your gods, and I actually think the singular idea is intended here. Your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now, if that sounds like an echo of the whole golden calf thing that happened as they came out of Egypt under Moses, you would be correct. And there's a reason why it's an echo. Back in Moses' day, they had just departed from Egypt. And in Egypt, there was this long-standing tradition that the creator God, whom they called Ptah, that's P-T-A-H, the creator God, the one who had made everything, got it all started, was sometimes represented on earth by a special-looking bull called an Apis bull. And so when the Israelis said to Aaron, look, we don't know where this Moses guy went to. He's disappeared up on the mountain. You need to make us some sort of representation of this Yahweh God, this He who is God, to lead us to the promised land. And so Aaron, fresh out of Egypt, decided to make a golden bull or calf to represent the creator God. It was a bad idea, and it ended badly. Well, here we've got Jeroboam, who believes in He who is, the Yahweh God of Israel. But Jeroboam just spent a few years in Egypt. And guess what he likely ran across? The long-standing tradition that the Creator God is represented by a bull. And so I believe that he had the same idea in mind that Aaron did. Let's make a physical representation of the God who brought us out of Egypt. And I'm going to make it in gold, because God needs to be represented by beautiful and expensive things. And so he said to the people, let's read it again, you've gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. See the connection there? And he set one in Bethel. Now, Bethel is just a few miles north of the border between southern Judah and northern Israel. So that means he sets one of the calves up so that anyone thinking about going to Jerusalem to worship at the temple there has to go by this place. So he's trying to make it as convenient as possible for his people from northern Israel to worship the God of Israel without crossing the border. And then he set the other one up at Dan, which is up in the northern border of the land of Israel, which means that anyone in the northern part of northern Israel can make a day trip to the city of Dan rather than making a couple of days trip down to Bethel, and certainly a couple of days plus down to Jerusalem. So he's trying to make this as convenient as possible. And I've actually been to the Golden Calf Sanctuary ruins at the city of Dan. And if you were to go with me on a trip to Israel, that's on our agenda in October to stop there. So you can kind of see the very place where this man set up an alternate worship site to the temple that is in Jerusalem. It's intended to be worship of Yahweh, worship of He who is, just not at Jerusalem. And here is what the prophetic inspired reaction to this action is. Verse 30. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. So this is what's referred to as the abominable sin of Jeroboam. The worship of God through the use of a golden calf at Dan or Bethel or any of the other sites that eventually they'll start putting this golden calf up in. Verse 31, he also made temples in high places and appointed priests from among all the peoples who were not of the Levites. Now, immediately, he's going to run into a trouble with the Levites that live inside his new kingdom. Keep in mind that the Levites serve a couple of weeks every year down at the temple in Jerusalem. And they go there for the three holy days of each year. But the rest of the time, the Levites have been intentionally scattered throughout all the tribes of Israel, so that there will be local representation of God, local teaching from these Levites about God, justice provided from the law of Moses, from these Levites. They will also be involved in school teaching to raise the children. They will also be involved in local worship, because people are going to worship week by week in their towns and in their communities. And so these Levites are going to be the source of those worship ceremonies. And the moment that Jeroboam started putting up this calf idea, those Levites would have objected. And that's when Jeroboam just does a workaround. He says, fine, I don't need you. I will just ask for volunteers that will become the new priests of these temples to God at Bethel and Dan. And that's why the Levites abandoned the northern kingdom. And I want to bring that up at this point. 2 Chronicles chapter number 11, verse 13. Says, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel presented themselves to him, that is to Rehoboam, from all places where they lived. For the Levites left their common lands and their holdings, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons cast them out from serving as priests of He who is, and he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat idols and for the calves that he made. And those who had set their hearts to seek He who is the God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to He who is the God of their fathers. So what happens in this first year, pretty much, and in the couple of years that might have followed it, after the split? The priests and the Levites of northern Israel abandon northern Israel. They abandon their family homes, and they move south of the border for the duration of this apostasy in their mind, because they're not going to participate in Jeroboam's false religion. And it's not just them. Over time, many of the genuine, faithful families in the northern tribes are going to leave their family farms, their family homes, their inheritance rights, and they're going to move south of the border and become part of Rehoboam's kingdom for the duration of this apostasy from the worship of the true and living God. Now, this is going to have a very strange effect. It means that the northern kingdom is going to have less representation of God's people in it, because the people that take their faith seriously leave the northern tribes. And that is why the northern kingdom goes downhill so much faster, because they've got less of the salt of God's people in it. It's also the reason why you end up with schools of prophets that start coming into existence, because there needs to still be some sort of light in the northern kingdom of Israel, and it's not coming from people still living there. It has to come from these communities of prophets who are being raised to keep the word of God alive in northern Israel. And those schools of prophets will also become targets at different points in Israeli history. So just be well aware of that. Now, verse 17 in 2 Chronicles 11 is where I want to finish before we go back to 1 Kings again, because it's got a little hint about a problem that comes in the southern kingdom. It says that these people that move south because of the abandonment of God's true worship up in the northern kingdom, says they strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, secure. For they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. So for about 3 or so years, the southern kingdom of Judah under Rehoboam was kind of promoting this idea, we're the kingdom of true worship of God. We're the kingdom where you can come and be secure because of the bad things that are happening up in the northern kingdom. Yes, Jeroboam is abandoning the true worship of God. He's setting up the golden calves and things like that. So yes, you can leave that bad place and come down here and live with us. But after that first 3 years is over with, Rehoboam starts going downhill. And we'll talk about that on a future session. At this point now, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 32, because Jeroboam apparently realized that all of this was going to happen pretty quickly with the feasts and things happening at Jerusalem, kind of making the people want to be at the temple on certain occasions. So he decides, I've got to come up with a unique feast for the northern kingdom, this new kingdom that I'm king over. So verse 32 says that Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. And that's probably a reference to the Feast of Tabernacles that happens on the 15th day of the 7th month. So he's setting up a competing celebration. And so he offered sacrifices on the altar. And so he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. And he went up to the altar that he'd made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he had devised from his own heart. So this very first celebration of the Feast of the Golden Calf representation of He Who Is happened on the 15th day of the 8th month, which in this year, 941 BC, would have happened right around the 12th of November. And so he personally is going to be involved in this inauguration ceremony. And so he instituted a feast for the people of Israel, and he went up to the altar to make offerings. And when we come back next week, we are going to start with the story of how God disrupts this inaugural worship of the golden calf at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month by King Jeroboam of the northern tribes of Israel. Have a great weekend. Lord willing, we'll get into the Word next Monday.